First Republic Bank customers, I'm told your money is safely over at J.P. Morgan Chase now, this after the second largest bank collapse in U.S. history. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. In a plan worked out by regulators, First Republic Bank is no more, with its very big rival taking over nearly all of its assets. All First Republic deposits have been transferred to J.P. Morgan Chase, which is getting $13 billion from the Federal Deposit Insurance System to ease the transition. As with Silicon Valley and Signature Banks 7 weeks ago, depositors got nervous and had pulled out a lot of their money when questions were raised about these banks' underlying health at a time that interest rates were rising. Marketplace's Nova Safo has more.
First Republic Bank had a reputation for a strong loan portfolio, including jumbo mortgages made to wealthy clients. But last week in its quarterly earnings report, the bank disclosed the damage it suffered after Silicon Valley Bank's collapse touched off a loss of confidence in some mid-sized banks. First Republic said its deposits shrank by more than $100 billion, perhaps as much as half of all its deposits. The bank had borrowed heavily to pay out customers, and that raised doubts about whether the bank could continue to operate. Regulators moved in. Over the weekend, they took bids to sell off the bank, and J.P. Morgan Chase won. This morning, it assumes operations at First Republic's 84 branches. In a statement, J.P. Morgan said it is acquiring about $173 billion in loans, $30 billion in securities, and about $92 billion in deposits. The bank giant said it will essentially break even in the deal. It's expecting to make $500 million in annual profits. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
We'll be watching a reading of a representative group of bank stocks, the KBW Bank Index, to see if the big J.P. Morgan transfer is bringing new confidence into the wider system. Let's now consult economist Julia Coronado. She's founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Good morning.
Good morning.
Do you share the sense that this collapse of First Republic and the transfer of its operations to J.P. Morgan Chase over the weekend is the tail end of the March conflagration?
Well, hopefully it's the tail end of the acute phase of this bank distress, but there are underlying issues in the banking sector. Commercial real estate, the fact that the yield curve is inverted, there are still pressures in the system.
We should explain. Interest rates went up. These banks had portfolios of government bonds, which are safe if you hold them to maturity, but they couldn't hold them to maturity in some cases. They needed to sell them. And when the Fed's jacking interest rates, it's hard to sell those off.
So the whole issue is the run of deposits. When people decide the bank is on shaky ground and they move their deposits to, say, higher yielding money market funds, that leads the bank to have to sell things. And if they have to sell them at a loss, it's a death spiral.
And on Wednesday, we'll find out what our central bankers want to do with interest rates. What do you think?
Probably another hike. Last one of the cycle.
All right, we'll see. Julia Coronado is also a professor at the University of Texas, Austin. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Recycling an aluminum can or glass bottle is relatively straightforward. Clothing is recyclable, but there's some precision work necessary. Buttons, zippers, embroidery may have to go. Now, this is done by people, and that labor can make the recycling of clothing more expensive than throwing it away. Some companies are working to fix the economics. Kaylee Wells of KCRW has the story.
From the seat of a forklift, Chanalee Saceta moves hundreds of boxes of clothes within a warehouse in Los Angeles. Her job gives old clothes new life.
I didn't know all this stuff went to the landfill.
Saceta works for Homeboy Industries, which rehabilitates and employs formerly incarcerated and gang-affiliated people. She and her coworkers are sorting, selling, sewing, repairing, and repurposing clothes.
I learned how to input weights and data entry into the computers. I learned different fibers, like you can feel it and you can be like, okay, this is that.
Clothing companies bring their unsold or returned stock to this warehouse where Sera repairs or recycles it so it can be resold. The CEO of Homeboy's apparel business is Chris Zwicky.
Corporations are more sensitive to the idea now that, like, there is no away when you throw something away, like it's actually going somewhere.
And there's plenty of material to work with. U.S. consumers buy 5 times more clothing than we did 40 years ago and toss about 81 pounds of clothes per person every year.
It's a gap in the market that we've seen and that we're filling kind of with our workforce development mission.
Less than 15% of discarded clothes get recycled. That's in part because it's difficult to do. One clothing company that's willing to try is Guess, which invests in Homeboy Industries. Nikolai Marciano is Guess's director of brand partnerships.
So initially, we started the pilot with store returns, damages, a regular product.
And then about a year ago, Guess started letting customers bring their own clothes back into the store to get recycled or repurposed.
Since the launch of our pilot program in December 2021, Homeboy has received over 200,000 pounds worth of garments to avoid ending up in landfills.
Patagonia, Hanes, Levi, and others also have programs dedicated to curbing textile waste. And California wants it to catch on even more. Lawmakers introduced a bill this year called the Responsible Textile Recovery Act of 2023, which would require textile producers to figure out how to collect and recycle reusable clothes and textiles. In Los Angeles, I'm Kaylee Wells for Marketplace.
And who needs commercial real estate with so many people working at least part-time in remote locations, right? The second most famous investor associated with giant Berkshire Hathaway is warning of a gathering storm with so many banks holding shaky loans for commercial property. This is what 99-year-old Charlie Munger, sidekick to Warren Buffett, has now told the Financial Times. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.